Hello and welcome.
Welcome to Tales from the Crypt. I'm Liz.
And I am Jenny.
And we're really excited to bring you another new episode. I'm trying to sound like, is it Bruce Banner?
Bruce Banner?
Wasn't he
talking about the Hulk?
Who's the guy that yells, let's get ready to rumble? That guy. Bruce Buffer.
Yeah, I'm like, Bruce Banner's the fucking Hulk. So you're trying to sound like, welcome to Tales. Like, I love it. Oh, I love it.
Okay, so I just totally messed that up. But anyways, we have stories. We have amazing stories this week. We always say that, but it's true.
It is true.
We got ghost stories and creep stories and... I don't know. I was trying to think, like, it's not a cryptid, is it?
That sounds like a peeper or something.
Ooh, yeah. I guess I'm going to have Jenny kick this off.
I'm really excited to tell you all this story. This one was submitted by an anonymous listener. He says, a few months ago, my 2.5-year-old son said something that I keep thinking about. A quick note of context. We live in an area of Texas that the Comanche tribe inhabited until the late 1800s. In fact, we are less than 20 miles from the Galt site, one of the oldest archaeological sites in North America that has been inhabited for 15,000 to 20,000 years. But my kid does not know this, as we've never talked with him about it. So I have an interest in history and have read about ancient cultures, but neither I nor my wife have ever talked to him about indigenous peoples at all, or even said the words Comanche, Native American, Indian, etc. To our knowledge, he has never been introduced to the concept of indigenous groups. When speaking with him, we refer to all people as simply people, and don't get any more complex than that. Anyway, an old friend was over for dinner one night. We were catching up and chatting about all kinds of things. I was mentioning an old stone wall that is near our place, and my friend said something about it being built back when the Comanche were here. My kid, who I didn't even realize was listening, blurts out, I know the Comanches! We all kind of went along with it, but we started asking him some open-ended questions, and each reply got weirder. It went something like this. I asked him, you do? How do you know them? I hear them at night, in the sky, he tells me. We all start looking at each other while he goes on eating. This was totally out of the blue and sparked my curiosity. My wife and I have always tried to make a point to not goad him into saying things when we ask him open-ended questions, so his answers are unprompted. He tells me, they talk to me in the sky. What do they say? I ask him. He makes his voice deep and says, hello down there. Tell us more about them, I ask. He tells me, they speak a weird language. We asked if he could understand them, though, and he said yes. He goes to a Spanish-speaking preschool, so he has some concept of at least English and Spanish being two different languages. We asked if he could see them, too, and he says yes. We asked what they look like, and he said, they kind of look like animals. But are they people? I ask. Yes, he says. We asked if they were scary, and he casually says, nope, then carries on with dinner, and that was that. The weird part? I kind of believe him. There is no question that Comanches lived in our area and certainly spoke a language that a small child could only describe as quote-unquote weird. They wore headdresses made of bison heads and horns, feathers, and adorned themselves with clothing and jewelry made of teeth, claws, and deer leather. This might explain why he said they kind of look like animals. Do an image search of the Comanche headdress and you'll see what I mean. Like I said, I don't believe that he had ever heard of the Comanche before. It's not like it comes up in conversation with a toddler whose favorite pastimes are playing in the sandbox or watching Thomas the Train. The closest time is once when he asked about my arrowhead collection, and I simply told him they were made by people who lived a long time ago, and I did not offer any details other than that. He doesn't watch movies, and the little TV he does watch is limited to a few toddler cartoons. He was only 2 years and 8 months old at the time, and I don't know how he could have just made all that up out of nowhere. He's never talked about imaginary friends, ghosts, spirits, or anything like that before or since. He's never just made up a detailed story like that either. The rational explanation is it's just a kid with an active imagination and he overheard something somewhere, somehow. But I found it pretty remarkable. He hasn't mentioned it since. 4 or 5 months have gone and I've asked him a couple of times if he can tell me anything more about the Comanche, but he doesn't really say much. He is now almost 3. And I asked him the other day if he remembered what he told me about the Comanche, and he did, and repeated what he had said about them. I asked if it was real or a story that he made up. He said it was real. I asked if they still talked to him, and he said, no, it happened a long time ago when I was a baby.
Nice. I love it. It really reminded me of, you know, they have these stories sometimes of kids that talk about like a past life or obviously ghosts or seeing things. And I got this vibe that maybe he's attached to that tribe in a past life and that's why they made contact. What do you think?
That's a good theory that I hadn't considered. I just thought maybe they were just like any other paranormal thing, I suppose, that to me, they'll go to these more open-minded people, which is definitely a child, but I totally believe it. I mean, yeah. I don't doubt that he had these conversations and knew these things, and I think I just thought it was so, like, a really beautiful story to think that he's having conversations with, you know, some elders, some people who lived in the past, and I thought it was really beautiful.
It is. It's really nice, and it's kind of like this comforting thing that I don't, you know, you don't get any bad vibes from the story. You get this vibes of like a connection, past lives, you know, something that's just deeper.
Yeah.
So I love it. I'm really glad that they let us share this story because I do think there's probably lots of parents who listen who's had their kids, you know, like heard their kids say things and be like, this, it's like, do you remember that was really big in the news that they had the little boy who talked about being a World War II pilot?
Yeah.
And they could trace back everything. That's what this story kind of reminded me of. There's some connection for sure.
I love it. I hope that maybe, you know, I know he says that he hasn't been talking to them anymore, but I really hope that maybe the kid can have that connection again later on, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I hope so too.
Yeah.
Well, I have a story. This is submitted by Reddit user Dismal Tank. And he says, tonight I saw something that I can't explain. So this is something that just happened. It's a Jenny is so excited about this one.
Yeah. So I did talk to him a lot more. And this happened this week, earlier this week. So this is fairly new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it starts like this. I don't know what to say. I'm not really a big believer in certain paranormal things or unexplained phenomena. I mean, it's not that I don't believe. I'm definitely open to it. It's just that I haven't seen or experienced enough of it to believe, if that makes sense. Though I did have this feeling inside that there's something out there. I don't know what it is. I can't really explain it better, but I just instinctively believe that there's something more out there. I feel it calling us. I say us because I've always felt energy from people and I feel the same kind of energy at different geographical locations when there's nobody there. I think I'm feeling whatever's out there and I feel it calling for us. I got really freaked out tonight and I just had to run into the backyard because my dog and my neighbor's dog were going crazy over something in the wash behind our house. It's 9:30 p.m. where I'm at. The incident happened about 33 minutes ago. FYI, my town doesn't have a lot of streetlights, so the majority of our streets and neighborhoods are completely dark. I was out walking the dog, our usual nightly walk. Tonight, I decided to call a friend and catch up with her. I like talking while I walk because times go by so much faster. I'm headed up to the main road that brings you in and out of our neighborhood. It's kind of S-shaped and long enough that I can go up and down it twice and be tuckered out. As I'm walking last curve of the S-shaped road that leads to the main road, I see this figure come into view. I can make out his silhouette from the lights on the main road. He's standing on the opposite side of the road near the entrance to my neighborhood. The body structure looks like a male to me, tall, with broad shoulders, so I'm going to say he from here on out. The way he was standing immediately had me concerned. He was kind of hunched forward, head down, like he was holding or looking at his stomach. His legs were bent in towards each other at the knees, and he was just standing there, crooked. He was tall, at least 6'4", while crouching. And I know this because I'm 6'2", and I easily recognize when someone is taller than me. Meth heads, addicts, and people with mental health issues are no stranger to this town, just like the big cities these days. So that was my original thought. Now, I wasn't close enough to see details of his clothing, but I could see he had on shorts and what looked like a sweater. Like a casual sweater you'd see a golfer wearing. A meth head found his way into our neighborhood, I said to my friend as casually as I'm talking about a stray cat. I feel kind of embarrassed to admit this. I was talking about another human, possibly sick human in such a calloused manner. And to be honest, when I'm scared, like I was kind of talk tough because I think it's going to make me braver or something. But anyway, my friend says, what? And I say, some meth head looking motherfucker standing at the entrance to my street. The very second I finished saying this, he stood straight up and turned slightly towards me. Not enough for me to see his face, but as if he was listening to me. I told my friend this, and other than a mumbled, what the fuck, from her end, I really didn't hear anything else she said, as my heart started beating hard, and I guess the blood rushing through my ears blocked out the sound. I then say to her, in a very low voice, I think this guy heard me, because it sure as fuck looked like he did hear me. I mean, he could have. I wasn't exactly whispering, and I do drag my foot sometimes, so yeah, it was like my friend just understood me. She simply said, well, what's he doing now? As if she could feel what I was seeing. I said, he's just standing there, but he kind of turned towards me. And she replies, maybe turn around or go down another street. What's Sam doing? Sam is my dog, a large mixed breed, semi-protective of me and the family. I look down and Sam is standing still, eyes fixated on the man. He does the same thing when strangers approach our house or even out in public when someone he doesn't know approaches our six-year-old daughter. Well, he's frozen, alert, staring at the guy, I say. When I saw him standing there, it just looked unnatural. The way he was standing, it looked like a zombie in Resident Evil or something. I remember thinking to myself, don't judge because, well, he may have a condition. Sam's ears raised, he definitely concerned about the man. I glance up and the man shifts to the right as if the sidewalk suddenly moved and he was trying to catch his balance. Sam flinched, alert. He lunged forward and let a low, grumbly bark. Sam says it's time to go, my friend says. Yeah, no shit, I reply and we turn around. I told my friend I'll call her back as I wanted to pick up the pace and go home. She says, yeah, no worries. Call me when you're home so I don't worry. I hang up and start walking briskly. Sam and I both keep turning around checking the status of the crooked man. The road cures, so we lost sight of him real quick. I have my flashlight in hand ready to go. It's the only thing I had on me tonight. Usually in tense situations like this, even when my adrenaline is up, I get really keen hearing. I've been in my fair share of violent situations and fights, so usually in my head, things slow down and I'm able to act accordingly. But tonight, his unearthly-like movement seemed to alter my reality and I had a new kind of anxiety attack. I suddenly felt very alone, and I wished I had someone there to protect me. That's when Sam growled, and I felt a little ease. Sam turned around, a very quick movement, like a quick reflex. I thought I was going to turn around and see the guy standing right by us. Holy fuck. I did turn, and I did see the man. He wasn't that close, but it was obvious he was following us. I could see his legs shifting or shuffling. I'm not a writer, I don't know how to say it. He was walking really weird. It was like small, awkward steps, but his body was moving faster than it should for those small steps. He was gaining on us really fast. Sam turned completely around and did his little stoic guard dog, thin, ears up, head down, looking like he was going to attack. And for a brief second, I thought to myself, well, if it's just a handicapped neighbor out for a walk and I'm misjudging this situation because I watched too much bedtime stories or something, maybe I should say hello. So I said, hello, nothing, no reply, nothing, just silence. But Sam starts growling again. He quickly is closing the gap between us and I'm at a loss on what to do. What really started freaking me out, there was no sound. We live in the desert. Our sidewalks and streets always have debris, dust, rocks, dead leaves, branches, mosquito pods. Something is always strewn all over the walkway. You can always hear someone walking in our neighborhood. Even if the sidewalk was clean and clear of debris, you would still hear footsteps, and from the look of his awkward shuffling, it should be making a lot of noise. I raise the flashlight. I click it on, and I pretty much shit my pants. His face looked like something from a horror movie. Distorted and bent out of shape as if someone took a photo of a face mid-scream and then stretched it out. His eyes were black. I did not see any white in them at all. His mouth was open and stretched down and up again as someone stretched a pic of his distorted demon face. Sam saw this too and started barking. I immediately clicked the flashlight off instinctively. I didn't want to see that face anymore. Sam starts pulling me towards the crooked man. I think he's going into attack mode, but I don't want to get closer to whatever that is coming towards us. My heart is racing at this point, beating so hard I thought I was going to fall over, like that sudden rush you get when you stand up too fast, but times 10. My mind is trying to rationalize this. I'm seeing things, I tell myself. Look again and you'll see, I say to myself. I turn the light on again, and as soon as it illuminates his distorted face, I see his already big twisted mouth open even wider. And then he vanishes. Just fucking vanishes. Poof, gone. Blink of an eye. Fuck this, we took right the fuck off. Full sprint all the way home. I tell my fiance I saw something that freaked me out. Maybe a meth head? I don't go into details because this kind of stuff really freaks her out and she'd be up all night. I call my friend and tell her what happened, that I'm home safe. I get on here and start typing when the fiance comes in and tells me the dogs are going nuts and that someone is walking through the wash behind our house. Maybe it's the same person, she asked. Fuck. I went out and checked, but it was too late to see anything. What am I going to do? Call the cops? I'm freaked the fuck out and I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight. The fiance and kiddo are in bed. I'm with Sam in the living room. He's calmed down, but I'm going to keep my eye on him as I'm sure he'll sense or smell something before I will. But edit, after posting this, I passed out harder than usual. I can't describe how tired I was. It's like the energy in this house became super thick and the gravity was turned up. Sam didn't leave my side all night, and usually he gets up and roams or sleeps next to the front door. But I woke this morning and he was still standing next to me.
Okay. What are your theories on this? I need to know.
I do agree with you when, you know, we talked about maybe a skinwalker, something cryptid, or the world's creepiest ghost. It's like the ghost on like 13 Ghosts when you're walking down a hallway and they just run up to you and their face is distorted. Like,
yes.
That's messed up. Like, no, thank you. No, nope.
Yeah. I mean, it was bad enough with the shuffling that immediately made me think of zombies, you know, like a zombie kind of shuffle.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a really cool new dance that we could have. So,
yeah.
But when he said the distorted face, that really like threw me. And it had that slasher vibe of it's slowly moving, but it's somehow getting closer to you.
And fast.
You know, of course, my initial thing was maybe a skinwalker, maybe a rake, something like that. But the more I thought about it, I also thought, could this be something, I'm not sure quite what, possibly an extraterrestrial or something, who just didn't quite get the face right, who just didn't quite get the movements right of human beings. You get what I'm saying? Like, they shifted into this quote-unquote human form, and maybe they just didn't quite get it all correctly.
I mean, that is definitely a theory that is potentially possible, because this one is so weird.
It's so, you know, open-ended.
It is. And the fact that, you know, it just feels like it's around, it's attached to maybe the home, the area, something about it where it just feels like safe to show itself, which is like really jarring.
He did say like a desert type area, didn't he? So I always think like Area 51 kind of things.
I feel like it's what I would call, I'm gonna say it, it's a doozy. It's a doozy.
Oh god, it's back.
It's back.
It's a doozy. This one is a doozy.
I gotta say it. But yeah, I would love to know, like I always say, what do our listeners think? What are their theories? This is a weird one.
And maybe we'll get an update if there's anything else, which honestly, I really hope that he doesn't have any more run-ins or experiences with this thing. And I think he probably feels the same way, because I know I would.
Yeah, I agree with you. You have one more story for us. Hopefully this one makes more like sense. I don't know.
I think it does. I think this one is definitely, you'll be like, okay, we know what this is. So this story is submitted by Reddit user Pure Logic Always, which is kind of ironic considering our topics that we talk about are not always just pure logic, but I love it. So she says, I have lived in a very old block of 6 apartments for the past 7 years. It was built in the 1930s, I think, and down the bottom under the stairwells are 2 rooms, one a laundry room and the other a storage room. The owners recently changed the locks and emailed to tell us we would all get new keys, including an extra new one to the previously inaccessible storage room, so we could use it for bikes or gardening stuff if we wanted, saying we could clear it out if needed. I was doing my laundry around midday after getting the new keys, and out of curiosity, I walked over and opened the room. Some other residents' bikes were already there near the door, but the rest of the room was dusty as hell and filled with old carpets, busted furniture, debris that clearly hadn't been touched in decades. I'm always on the hunt for cool antique stuff, and the owners didn't want any of it, so I carefully started shuffling through it, first touching a picture frame and leaning it forward. As soon as I did, the light, which I had not touched the switch for, flashed on. I did jump a bit, but a history of dodgy wiring in this building made me brush it off. But when I get back to the stuff, the light immediately switched back off again. I turned around quickly to see if, just maybe, my neighbor Ray, who's a good friend, was playing a prank. And as I did, a big glass light fitting fell in the furthest corner I'd turned away from. It full-on smashed, pieces all over. I turned back to see what had happened, and the light switched on again. I was getting spooked, so said out loud as a joke to calm myself, "Do you want me to go or something?" And the heavy, half-open door slowly opened till it was against the wall, creaking like a damn scary movie. There was no breeze whatsoever, and I was certainly alone. You best believe I ran the hell out of there and locked the door behind me. There, through the one window into the room, I saw the light switch off again. I refused to go into that room anymore.
Okay, yeah, I think you made a good choice in leaving that room. I love how they explain, like, you know, one time, fluke, two times.
Yeah, maybe shitty wiring.
Yeah, but then consistently and obviously there's like this energy of, I don't want you in here. I don't want you touching my things.
It's responding to you.
Yeah.
Do you want me to leave? Yeah, here's the fucking door, is what the ghost said.
Right. Like, you don't belong here. You can't sit with us.
Don't touch my shit.
Right. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, good call in not going in that room, because there's obviously some very negative residual energy there, and I don't feel like you're going to want to fight with that.
Oh, no, not at all. It's like the Mean Girls of ghosts.
Yeah, really sassy.
You can't be here, and we don't want you, so bye-bye.
Yeah, here's the door, literally. Well, I loved it. I love stories like this where it's just, it's such a weird episode that happens, and you know it's something paranormal, so love it. And please, if you are a listener, submit your story to us. We love them. So you can submit them through Facebook or Instagram or through our Gmail at tftcsub@gmail.com.
Yes.
And Jenny will, you know, be your guide and take your story. She's amazing.
Definitely give us your stories. Chat with us. Hit us up. We love talking to people, especially me. I love everybody and hate people. I don't know what it is, but, you know, but I promise we're nice. We love to talk. We love to hear theories. We love to, even if maybe you have a story that you're like, hey, this isn't long enough for a story, but I just want to tell you about this experience. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, hit us up.
Yeah.
Leave us a comment even on our, you know, Instagram or Facebook, whatever.
Spotify even.
Yeah. We love reviews. So give us some good reviews. Get us moving. Get us out to everybody. We've had such a phenomenal response to our podcast that is still fairly new, and we absolutely love that we are able to reach all the people that we've been able to reach so far.
Yeah, so a big thank you to all of our listeners. I don't know if you understand how great it is to go in and see our stats and be like, people are listening, that's crazy.
Sure.
So thank you, and you can reach out to both of us, either one of us. I know sometimes when people have two co-hosts are like, oh, I feel more connected with one. So if you love Jenny, not a problem. Reach out to her. If you love the sound, the way that I sound like an 8-year-old.
If you love Liz and you want to hear her or read a response that where she says, it's a doozy, she'll do
it. It's a doozy.
We're going to start doing cameos where Liz will just do a cameo and she'll be like, it's a doozy with a little thumbs up. What would mine be? I don't even know. I'll be drinking a Mountain Dew.
In between your cleavage.
Talking complete, total nonsense. Yeah. Yeah.
These are our talents. Mm-hmm. But thank you guys again. Please do reach out, and please make sure you keep an eye out for new episodes every Monday, 6 a.m. CST.
Every single Monday. We won't abandon you.
Except for that Monday that I forgot to upload it properly. But we still got it up.
But it's still, hey, it was up. It just wasn't up at exactly 6 a.m. But we will not leave you. We will not abandon you. That's been a thing since COVID. I've experienced it myself with so many of my favorite podcasts where they're going on a hiatus. They're abandoning. Nope.
We're here for the long haul. Yeah. Hopefully. So, you guys, thank you again for listening. And until next time.
Until next time. I feel like we need a spooky tagline. Send us your spooky taglines for that.
One of my friends, my coworker, said she liked calling us, like, our listeners, like, creeps. But then I was like, I don't know if that's offensive.
No,
like,
I love it. Yeah.
Really?
We'll talk to y'all next time, you creeps.
Well, I'll let Jenny say it. I'm too sensitive. Can't do it.
See y'all next week.
Thanks, you guys.
Love all the support. Awesome. Keep it up. And bye-bye.
Bye.